of reach for us.
Our kids for the in Derek's class 8 through 12. The coloring class.
Heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that principle right there has been protected at this pulpit for sure, in this case by Brother Steve Atwood. In the other places where we have conferences, the leaders of those conferences have been just as diligent in protecting the pulpit, protecting what is preached from that pulpit to men that hold to 2 Timothy 2:2. And the other thing that keeps it the same 32 years later as it was 32 years ago, and I'm sure 32 years prior to that, is men following that same principle, teaching others to teach others also. And I just wonder who those in their 20s are right now, and those in their late teens even right now, 32 years from now, may be standing up here following 2 Timothy 2:2. You know, so this is the last book written by this guy, Paul, that you hear so much about here, and may we never stop teaching about this guy, Paul. Matter of fact, back up to verse 13 of chapter 1, Paul says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Let's go to the first book Paul wrote, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You always, you know, grace preachers, we always have to have that timeline up there. Stopped by to see Brother Jerry on the way up here yesterday, and thankfully we could have a conversation because there was a timeline there in his water store, so we could talk. Galatians chapter 1. So that was the last book Paul wrote. First book Paul wrote. Notice what he says right in the first chapter, right after the introduction in verse 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Whoa. And I think over the last 32 years, the people that have come and gone through here and the other conferences and through the various Bible studies we've had around the country, and I marvel. How some have been removed from him that called us into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. How does that happen? Well, to first of all understand that there's another gospel, let's make sure we're real clear on the gospel. Matter of fact, another principle here, whenever you're studying your Bible, two words I always encourage you to really let the scriptures define. If ever you read, like here, the gospel, unto another gospel, end of verse 6. Which gospel? Which gospel is he talking about? Scripture will always interpret itself. It's usually the verse before or the verse after. Let's try verse 7. "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Well, there you go. Scripture tells you he's talking about the gospel of Christ. So anybody that's turned from the gospel of Christ is turned unto another one. Paul marvels at it, can't believe it's happened. And in fact, he says in verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be" what? "Accursed." That's pretty strong words. And in case you missed it, he repeats it in verse 9. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Those are pretty strong words. You can't miss it. There's no skirting around it. It's the gospel of Christ. The other word, just we're not going to study it today, but the other word, whenever you see the word baptism, always ask yourself, which baptism is the scripture talking about in that section? It will interpret itself. And yes, there's more than one baptism in your Bible. There's three baptisms in one verse back there in Matthew and in the Gospels. Don't let that bother you. There's many gospels. We've got a study on the internet, 10 or 11 Gospels right in the New Testament that you can find, trace through Scripture. Gospel of the Kingdom, Gospel of the Circumcision, Gospel of the Uncircumcision, Gospel of Christ. Okay? Romans chapter 1. I'm going to try not to use names today because some people would prefer that. But I know one gentleman, I love it, he called the other day, he's putting some business cards together. And all he's putting on there are the websites like www.understandingyourbible.com, graceforall.net, butnow.info, and some others on there so he can give them out to people. And he was asking about what to put on there. But all of us have a ministry. Any one of us can give a card to somebody and you say, if you'd like to know more, there's some great studies on this on any one of these websites. Okay? Pretty easy to do. Pretty non-confrontational to do. Anyway, that was a great idea. I wanted to share that with you. Brother Jerry taught you the whole book of Romans last night. I've always said, if my mentor wears a shirt with a hole in the left sleeve, I'm going to wear a shirt with a hole in the left sleeve. So, Romans 1. Verse 15. We're talking about that gospel of Christ, right? Romans 1, verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Chattanooga also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There you go. Which gospel? Right there. Gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it. What's it? Amen. Gospel of Christ. Always let the scripture interpret it. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. While we're in Romans, let's just go through, much like Brother Jerry did, come to chapter 3. Chapter 3, we're just going to grab some verses here. The gospel of Christ, let's make it clear, the gospel of Christ. Verse 20 of chapter 3, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And Brother Jan sure helped us understand the flesh, didn't he? For by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now. Don't miss those two words. Why do we call our website butnow.info? But now. Watch the but nows in the scriptures. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. But now? Wait a minute. Jerry, what year was that? You couldn't get any help from the guy in the back corner back there. AD 55, 50. Oh. Whatever year it was approximately 25 years after the crucifixion of Christ. Romans being written in Acts chapter 20, about approximately 20 to 25 years after the crucifixion, and it's, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested? Wow. Thought Peter started that right there 50 days after. No. No, it's the gospel of Christ that's the power of God unto salvation today in the year 2015. Let's continue. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified, not will be justified, as you know, everything about Peter is a future thing. Acts 3:19, your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. All future. It's right there. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to set up His kingdom. That's when their sins are blotted out. We can have it now. Is present tense. Verse 28, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Come to chapter 5. Here's another one of those words I want to challenge you. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, ask yourself a question. Why for? Usually if you back up a verse or two, you'll get the why for. So let's back up to the middle of verse 24 there. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's make sure we're clear. The gospel of Christ is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. How that Christ, when He died on that cross, He died, the three key words, for our sins. According to the Scriptures, He was buried went to hell for 3 days. On the third day, God the Father raised him for our, for your justification. And if we'll simply believe that and trust in that and that alone for our salvation, not only are we saved, but we're sealed unto the day of redemption right there. When we go to meet Brother Moore in the clouds, Brother Barry Hampton being the other, that just those men so influential in my life, right here from this pulpit as well. They're just resting, waiting on us. They just have a better seat right there, get to rest a little bit more. Okay? But we'll all be together again, and praise the Lord for that. When we are saved and sealed, that's why Romans 5:1, we can have that peace. I think about some of the stuff going on last week with some visitors to this country and all the pomp and circumstance that went about with that, and how people following that can never have that peace that we have here. We realize we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace. Nothing we can do to gain our salvation, and therefore nothing we can do to lose our salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We get to sleep real well at night. If you're following what was going on last week for your salvation, you know, it's Brother Barry Hampton. If you died tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And what are you trusting for your salvation? And unless you're trusting in anything other than the gospel of Christ, pardon me, how in the world do you ever have that peace? When you know you can't lose your salvation, you have that peace. Thank you so much. Should have had that. Only for those that know what that is. I know what's coming on later in this study, so I've got the outline. Let's just read Romans 5, 1 through 11, straight through. No expositories to it. And why? J.C. O'Hare said that especially every new believer, anybody newly saved, should read Romans 5, 1 through 11, 100 times through. George, in our study, we only have, about 50 more weeks to go. We've been doing that for about a year now. We start every study reading these first 11 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Wow. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being, when justified? Now. Underline that word. Now justified. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Underline that word now again. You have those now. Nobody else prior to Paul had it now. Nobody after this dispensation, the dispensation that we live, year 2015, Ephesians chapter 3 calls it the dispensation of the grace of God. That's where we live. As Brother Jerry said, Romans to Philemon. You take Romans, Ephesians, there's all your doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. I mean, take all Romans to Philemon. But when this dispensation ends at the calling out of the body of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4, The now goes away. Nobody will have these things now. They will have to endure to the end. The end of that 7-year period of great tribulation. You don't want to... Well, anyway, they will have to endure. The now goes away. We have all those now. And Paul, again, as we read in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 21, writing it here 20 to 25 years after the cross, and he says, but now is made manifest. Wow. Something had to be different. It was just being revealed when he was writing it down then. While we're in chapter 5 here, let's just come to chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 8, right with Jan, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'd say that's impossible. Coming ahead, chapter 16, let's just go through quickly. How's that, the whole book of Romans in 10 minutes. Chapter 16, verse 25. The third time Paul's wrapping up the book, it seems, wrapping up this letter to the Romans. He starts to wrap it up, and one more thing, and starts to wrap it up. Oh yeah, one more thing. It's kind of how it's coming across. Verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and don't let that worry you that he calls it my gospel, because it is his gospel. It was revealed unto him by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says in Galatians 1, if we were back there, I was neither taught it by men, neither was it revealed to me, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now, again, 20, 25 years after the crucifixion, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This mystery that was kept secret since the world began, roughly 6,000 years ago, we're going to take that from Adam to man to today, roughly 6,000 years. And it's been kept secret since then until Paul, excuse me, at this time it would have been 4,000 years after. And it was just here being revealed, but now is made manifest. It's how he's wrapping up the book. So how do people miss it? Two more. Let's go to Ephesians now. Foundational and fundamental books of doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Hopefully everybody has this memorized. For by grace are, not will be, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, the doctrine of our salvation. Come back now. Ephesians chapter 1. Pick up the end of verse 12 to pick up the subject. Who first trusted in Christ. Trusting in Christ being the subject. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. And every one of you in here, put your name in there where it says ye. In whom ye also trusted. When? After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen, brother's right. There's your sequence of events. Every one of us that are saved, this is the way it happened. Anyone else, this is the way it will happen. You will hear the word preached. You will believe it. You will trust in it. The moment you trust in it, you are saved and sealed unto that day of redemption. As it said right there in verse 13, the sequence of events. So how do people miss that today? How do we miss it today? It's just like, first of all, It's like the two men here, Kim's brother preached that night, Brother Moore, all three. It's a message we call lost believers. There's a lot of people that believe the right things, but they're still lost because they believe them, and it said here, trust. Trust is active belief. You can believe things. You know, do you really believe that chair's going to... You know, I might believe that chair's going to hold me up, but until I go there and trust it enough to sit in it, it's a little bit different. Brother Moore used to use a great example. The guy with the wheelbarrow. How many people believe I can push this wheelbarrow across the tightrope here, you know, from one top of the canyon to the other top of the canyon? Yeah, we believe you can do it. Yeah, everybody's there. They want to see him, right? So he pushes that wheelbarrow across one time. Everybody, okay, yeah, you really did. Maybe now I believe it a little bit stronger. How many people believe I can push it back again? Yeah. He pushes it back one more time, two times. They've seen him do it twice. How many people believe? Maybe more hands go up. Yeah, I believe he can push it back again a third time. Okay, who's going to come up here and jump in the wheelbarrow and let me push you across? The difference, and that was a great analogy when Brother Moore would use that. The difference between belief and trust. And so it is with the gospel of our salvation. We have to pass that point of believing in it to trusting in it. And you see, that's a momentary thing. It's not something we work at. And there's a moment where before that you were not yet trusting in it. And boom, a second later, I got it now. I'm jumping in the wheelbarrow. And trusting, either the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all on that cross, paid all the penalty for my sins, and that will save me, or I'll just die and go to hell because that's his brother Jim, you know, that's what I deserve anyway. Ain't one of us worth the gunpowder to take to blow us into hell, right, Brother Jim? All right. Either that's enough, I'm just going to trust in that and that alone, or I'll just die and go to hell anyway. And now we're saved and sealed. Nothing we can do to lose it either. Okay, so the next point of this. How do we get away from this today? What becomes the issues? What keeps people from seeing this? Of course, 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to who? Them that are lost. Why? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them and they should be saved. What keeps the glorious gospel of Christ from being presented unto them? And we all want to say, well, it's evil, right? Let's go to Ephesians 6 while we're here in Ephesians. Come over to 6, the second to last book that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy being last, Ephesians being second to last. And you know what? All the prison epistles were probably written pretty close together, so I don't know that it's critical which one's last, which one's... where they fall. Just the point is, one of the last books of doctrine here. That's the point. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, that's another active word, something we put on. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the enemy right there, gang. Now, how is that made manifest in the year 2015? And a lot of us want to run to all the bad stuff, and some may say, well, and depending on which of the 300 and some different denominations we have in this country, you know, some may have you to believe it's the honky-tonks down at that corner, or the bar at that corner, or the dance hall across the street. And if you're going there, you know, that's the evil that's preventing people from seeing the gospel of Christ. We'll see which end of that is in just a second here, what the Scripture says. You know, what people call evil today. Well, let's just see what the Bible says. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11 is a great place to see just that example. Verse 13, for such are false apostles. Ah, it's false apostles. Well, who are they? They should be real easy to see, right? They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, why for? Because Satan himself even is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Are you starting to see who might be getting in the way here today? For that matter, try Genesis to Revelation. Who's always at odds with those trying to preach the truth for the time that exists? The religious leaders, gang. The religious leaders. The establishment. Traditions of men. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We skipped that chapter, Jerry, when we were going through earlier. So, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We didn't skip it. Jerry did talk that one last night. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. And tell me if this doesn't sound like a lot of the people you know today. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, tell me this does not apply in the year 2015, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. People want to do it their own way. We have a real famous song out there. I did it my way. How many people are singing that song? If you died tonight, though, where would you go and why would you go there? And if you're doing it my way, that's going to be a bad highway. There's a song that one, too. You see, that's what gets in the way today. People trying the flesh, religion. It gets in the way. Now, there was a word I want to go to. Let's actually go to 1 Corinthians 15. While you're going to 1 Corinthians 15, grab Acts chapter 17 in the other hand, another principle. I believe it was even read last night, but you can't read these too often. 1 Acts 17, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. Why for did many of them believe? The verse before, and this has got to be every one of us in this room. This is why we believe things, because it says, starting in the middle of verse 11, it just says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so, therefore many of them believe. Do not believe it until you see it in the scripture. Does not matter what the guy standing up here behind this pulpit says, whoever it is, whether it's Jerry Lockhart, Steve Atwood, Steve Gottberg, Mark Rumfellow, any other preacher in here. It's what saith the scripture. That's what matters. Why do we have people following different gospels today? Because they're not searching the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They're listening to what the words that came out of the man's mouth. That's why. That's the why for. 2 Timothy. Back to 2 Timothy. And still keep 1 Corinthians 15. We'll get there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last chapter written by this guy Paul. The last chapter that became doctrine. That became a book in your Bible. The Word of God. Probably pretty important chapter. I mean, they're all important, but chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound like today, maybe? But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's it today. People want to hear the feel-good religion. I can remember 32 years ago hearing Brother Moore talking about if I preached puppy dog religion and told you about the dog that got hit crossing the street, I could get you all in tears and get 40-11 of you to walk this aisle and come down here and pray through because I got you all emotional. Turning unto fables, having itching ears, turn from the truth. That's it. Because we're all in the flesh. All right? We is what we is, as Popeye would say. 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to word another active word here. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. And that's the word I want to emphasize here, received. How many times Paul uses that word received? Which you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Next two verses, clear as can be, the gospel of Christ. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Received. That's the word. Received. And that's what I want to end with here. I love another thing that's gone on for 32 years here, on Saturday mornings in particular. I see everybody bearing their colors. I see some new ones. I see Troy back there. I don't think I recall seeing Troy in the past. I see Alabama. Texas, maybe not as often, in some. LSU, I don't need to name them. You all know. I saw a guy with a red hat with a black G in it last night even. Won't look in the same areas. Everybody's spotting different colors here. And when I think of that football, there's one position there. The guy that stands on the end way out there usually, they call them receivers. Those that have the big A's on their shirt have had some pretty good ones here lately. You know, Julio Jones. And how do they measure the success of those receivers? How many receptions did they have this game? And of course, how many yards did they have after? How many receptions did they have? Everything's about the receptions. You see, every time the ball's thrown to him, that receiver either receives it or he drops it, misses, but or he receives it not. If you'll allow me. There are two options that receiver has. Now, he's always trying to receive it. And if your name's Julio Jones, you definitely receive it more times than you receive it not. The guy's amazing. Boy, do we miss him. And you know, in today's day and age, even of this game, just to make sure, especially if it's a touchdown reception, we've got the eye in the sky over there, and we've got the angle from over here, and we've got the one from down there, and let's make sure he really did receive it, because if he received it not, we've got to take those points off the board. Whether he received it or not is very critical to this game. And so they do the replays, and wow, and yep, his foot was in, yep, he received it. That's 6 points. Put him on the board. He received it. And by the way, while we're talking about football, why don't you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mean football, great game. And there's nothing like great receivers to make the game exciting. There's nothing like great receivers that can make that quarterback look real good. And you see, here's the thing. If we were to look here in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Actually, we've got it back. We'll start in verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, I want you to stop reading for a second. In them that perish. Them that perish. Let's see why they perish. The next phrase says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You don't want to be that receiver that received not the love of the truth that you might be saved, because you perish. That's it, gang. In some ways, it's that simple. Because when the gospel is preached, every time it's preached, every time that passes thrown, the receiver either receives it or receives it not. Every time the gospel is preached, people out there either receive it or receive it not. Now, in this dispensation, you at least get to hear it tomorrow, as long as you don't get hit by that truck out there when you pull out. As Brother Barry Hampton, how many times I've heard Brother Barry say this, and to how many people, if you died tonight, where would you go? And he didn't stop there. And why would you go there? And when you ask people that, or if ever you're in a conversation like that, make sure you listen to the last part of that. And why would you go there? How sure are you? Do you need the instant replays on your... Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did you receive it? Or have you received it not? You know that you know that you know. And those of you that are kind of running some different camera angles, well, maybe I received it. I know the night of my salvation. Oh, boy, I want it so bad. Well, I'm going to run the replay. I remember when I was 16, walking an aisle. I threw that camera out. I remember getting baptized at 17 and throw that one out. I wasn't trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried and raised again for my justification. As for everybody in this room, all we got to do is believe that and trust in that. When is the moment that you went from being an active believer, or being a believer out there that, yeah, that's true for anybody that'll believe it and trust in it, to trusting in it yourself, to jumping in that wheelbarrow, making sure of that reception, knowing that you know, because, let's read the rest of that passage, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now watch verse 11, because when this event, this is talking about this event here, and actually out into here, the 7 years, and for this cause, what cause? They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Well, why would they do that? That they should believe a lie? Why would he want them to believe a lie? That they all might be damned. God Almighty would want them to be damned? No! He wants you to be saved. He sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins. And if you'll just believe it and trust in it, you'll be saved. But if you receive it not, you'll believe that lie, that you might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Get it settled in your life, gang. We don't know if we're like Brother Barry Hampton, that comes up here and preaches one night and just goes to sleep and doesn't wake up the next morning. Every one of you knows a person or two right now you can think about. Kim had a best friend when she was in high school, coming back from college for a great event back in Mobile. And here comes a guy the other direction, crosses that yellow line, they hit head on, boom. She doesn't have a chance to think about it again. We all know people like that. We don't know when our last moment is. If you die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? Do you know that you have a secure reception in your life? If you've received it not, don't leave those doors. It is just receive it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you.